The following lecture, titled Individuals Promoting Our Worlds Upon Faith in the Human Family, was recorded at the Ramada Inn South in Harvey, Illinois, Saturday, May the 30th, 1998. The lecturer is Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. And now, Imam Muhammad.
Allahu Akbar. Again, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. Praise be to Allah, that is the God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We witness that He is one. We are Muslims. We associate none in worship with Him. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is the last of the prophets, the seal of the prophets, God's messenger and His servant, a mercy to all the nations. Prayers and peace be upon Him. Ameen. Again, it's my pleasure to see you all. Many of you I know by face and know you to be true supporters of the community and my leadership for many years. It's a great pleasure to be with you anytime, any place. Praise be to Allah. I just received a product with the name New Africa Beverage Company on it, and I'm so impressed with the labeling. So professionally done, so beautifully done. And I just finished one little bottle of the water, and it went down all right. This makes us feel so proud. And there's so many of you now with products. You're making us feel very, very proud. And so, inshallah, soon you're going to see many of these products that have been presented to us in catalog sheets, order sheets, and you'll be able to order them wherever you're living in these United States, and maybe some places outside the United States where we have a community like in Bermuda, and a few other places. Very encouraging. I saw the product display. Very encouraging. We've been receiving products now since we introduced the CPC to the community. And most of the products that we received, I think, have a future in the community. If the product representative, the persons representing the products are promoting the products, product promoters, owners, are willing to grow as I would say a purchaser of CPC products. Now, that doesn't mean that CPC would have its name on your product, but CPC is your instrument. CPC is your help for getting your product at a much lower cost to you, so you can compete in the market. Now, if you're willing to do that, to have CPC qualify your product for distribution, then we can do big business. Yes, because even if your product lacks something for the level of competition we have to have or have to meet, we'll find ways to bring your product up to those specifications. And if you agree, as I said, we can be in big business. And there's no offense, but we are not here to hurt anybody. We are here to help, not to hurt anybody. What I mean by that, if there's any way we can help you, if you choose not to come under the CPC vision and plan, and which will put some restrictions on you. And you can operate independently of any connection with CPC whatsoever. That's up to you. And if we know about you, if anything we can pass on your way that we know will help you with your business, we'll be more than happy to do that. That's the reason why we exist. We exist to help us grow bigger. That's why we exist, to help us grow bigger and better, so that we can measure up to other communities in this country as a business sense community, good business sense community. I can't tell you often, too often, or enough for my satisfaction, that this is a special time in the life of our people, special times in the life of the world. This is a very special time on earth today. I can't tell you that enough. And what's happening is that we are seeing the world being reordered, especially the business world. The world is being reordered for economic justice to come to the communities of the world, not just to us, but to the communities of the world. Economic justice. Justice for every people, for every government, for every nation, for every community within nations. Justice in business, in the business world. Justice in the business world for all people who want to be involved or engage in business. This is what the world is shaping up for. And I'm happy to know that I'm here on this earth, still living, and the clock has moved so fast that I am able to see what I thought I would. I couldn't have dreamed of seeing what I'm seeing today. Impossible. 10 years ago, I couldn't have dreamed of seeing what I'm seeing today. Not to mention 20 years ago, or 30 or 40 or 50 years ago, impossible to even dream that this would happen. If somebody had said Imam Razuddin Muhammad would be the person he is and meeting and being invited into the company, in the circles of the people that I'm meeting with now on a regular basis, I would have laughed. I would have been just like Sarah in the scripture. When God said, you're going to have a child, and she's 80-some years old, she laughed. But if you had said that Wallace D. Muhammad, W. D. Muhammad, would be where he is today, you had said that to me 30 years or 40 or 50 years ago, I would laugh. 30 years ago, I would have laughed. I would say, hey, you really got some other kind of imagination. And I'm sure that most of the imams would have laughed. They say, this person gone crazy. Now, we have a lot of faith in the community of the imams, but this person is really crazy, gone insane. You know, never would these people recognize our leader. You know, never would they want him in that company. Never would they want him contributing to what they say at the table. Yeah, but that's the fact now. It's real. Yes, it's real. And I'm not promoting it, I'm being invited. Once they knew about me, and two Muslim brothers were key. They were the key persons for introducing me to the bigger circles of interest in the world. And one is Anamullah Khan, who was given the Nobel Peace Prize of Saudi Arabia, you know, what they gave him to show that their appreciation for his achievements. They gave him what they considered to be like the Nobel Peace Prize of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And Anamullah Khan, he was for a long time the president of Muslim Congress, World Muslim World Congress in Pakistan, World Muslim Congress, a Muslim World Congress, and his assistant, Enamullah Khan, the president, and his assistant, Victor Hamdani. Those two brothers became aware of me and my leadership, what I'm after, and they saw that what I represented would be appreciated in much higher circles and much bigger circles, world efforts, people who are making global efforts for betterment of humanity. And they introduced me at the conference was held in Pennsylvania, by the World Conference on Religion and Peace, which I'm a member, I'm a president. In fact, I'm one of the presidents in the United States of that organization now. And from that day on, I have been having more and more interaction with people who have a plan to better serve the global community, so that we'll have better human life and more freedom, more peace, more justice, more respect for each other, more tolerance of each other, and more cooperation for the good future of the human family on this earth. See? And that's really Islamic interest, isn't it? This is what the Quran conditioned us to think that way. So the Quran made me broad-minded. You'd be surprised what people tell me. Government people, they know about me. You'd be surprised what they tell me. And it humbles me so much I want to make sense there. Right at the time when they say it, I feel so thankful to Allah and feel so small. Here these big people paying me compliments like this. And some of the compliments, they would get in trouble saying these things to me if their fellow co-workers heard them, or their president heard them saying these things. But they say it, and it make me feel like this right at the time, just going down on my hands and knees and forehead to the ground, making steps there. Because I know what has lifted me up. I know what has lifted me up. Yes. So this is a new time. That's what we have to be aware of. Be aware that this is a new time. This is a time that the human soul has been hungering for ever since man was put into the earth. This is the time. When, as Allah says, there will come a time when no soul will be able to help another soul in any way. Every soul will have to answer for itself. That's this time. But now we think of that time as being a bad time. No, on this side of the great judgment day, that's a good time. It means that the world is going to be so burdened because of authorities taking on too much authority, assuming too much authority in and over the life of individuals. The multiplying of the numbers of individuals, the growth of populations, and how that taxes government and taxes governmental systems is going to be so great that governments are going to have to throw up their hands. The system is outdated. The system is antiquated. It won't work like anymore. We have to reorder the system. Now that's happening so quietly that most of us are not even aware of it. It's happening so quietly. This is the biggest revolution that ever took place in the civilized quarters of human life that's going on right now. The biggest revolution. But it's not the firing of guns. It's the reordering of the thinking of those who assumed responsibility for man's life. Say, well, we can't manage it anymore. It's too much. People are going to have more freedom. So what they did was first provide the freedom, all the time preparing for the new world of shared responsibility. But first they had to come in with this freedom. And the freedom, when they gave it, the people are not prepared for responsibility yet. But here comes this freedom in on them. And the freedom relieves the burden greatly that was on the system and the people responsible for the system, government authority. Greatly relieved. But they can't tolerate that. These people are conscious people. Our government is a civilized government. Our citizens are decent citizens. And time says this has to be changed. Citizens, the public can't tolerate this straying away from consciousness, this freedom to do any and everything you want to do with no respect for rules and values. So, what happens? You have the voice coming up from the people themselves, saying that we need our families, and what we're seeing is the destruction of our families. We have to protect our families. We have to get the good family life back. So here's the voice coming from the people. Then voice start coming from powerful organizations. Powerful because those organizations are managed, are operated by, overseen by people of great learning. Very wise people. So these organizations start to alarm the government, tell the government quietly. See, they didn't alarm the public. They go into the government and they start to tell the government something has to be done. We have to have better conditions in this country for family life. More protection, more respect and more protection for family life. They start talking. The government looks at its place in the international world. And the international world is meeting. They're meeting too, are meeting. The world is meeting. The people who represent the communities, the cultures of the world, they're meeting too. And they're speaking at government sessions where different nations are meeting. They're speaking and they're addressing the problem. Like at the Conference of Islamic States, the Conference on Islamic Unity was held in Tehran recently. Like at that big meeting, here you have about 50 Muslim nations from around the world meeting, and they're addressing this problem too. And they got learned people from their religious quarters, that is, those propagating the faith, from mosques, from Islamic schools, from Islamic universities, from the businessmen, from Muslim businessmen, from professors in education, sociologists, etc. They're all at that conference, and I'm at that conference too. I was there too. And we're reaching the government leaders, letting the governments know what we think is the most serious problem now on earth for our life. What's in the way of the Muslim life? What's in the way of the good life that God wants for us? So we are telling them. And this happened in the West, ahead of the East, I do believe. The East responds only to the problems that the West have brought to them. And that is the culture. And that brings to mind the progress for communication. Systems of communication. You know, we used to be able to be as loud as we wanted to be in America, and people across the ocean didn't even hear us. Because we didn't have television. We didn't have radio tied all together, where you can speak here and be heard everywhere. And the television, where you can address the audience here and be seen everywhere. We didn't have that, but now we do. And the public have access to that now. International public have access to television. And they are seeing heavy issues, issues of great importance, discussed on that television. That's like we can see it on our television in the U.S. CNN bringing meetings and programs of high level importance into your homes, into their homes too. They call them third world people, but if they have a television, they can see it too. And they're looking. They can even hear Imam Muhammad speak, maybe, or CNN, PBS, public broadcast system. Some of them will bring Deputy Muhammad right into their living room. Now, I'm saying Deputy Muhammad because that's the least, one of the least likely people that would be coming into that living room. But there are many others of importance. We have great voices and just address very important issues. They're speaking around the world on the moral state of the society, the moral state of the present generation, on the state of the family, and they're suggesting remedies. They're also speaking on cultures, respecting each other, tolerating each other. Don't hate a person because they don't dress like you. Don't treat them like a stranger, like an alien, because they don't talk and dress like you. So that all the world has come to be so small because of communication lines being connected everywhere. Communication lines. Communication line on all levels. The internet. You can get on the internet now and do research in Cairo, Egypt for your paper that you want to present to your professor. You can get on the internet and you can plug into the university or to the, pardon me, the library of the University of the American College in Egypt or the El-Azhar University. Plug right in and get information. Do your research, baby. So the world has become one big living room, or, as the people are saying, one global village. One global village. And that puts pressure on governments. Because the citizenry now of governments are exposed to a global state of affairs that educates them now globally. So here's the common man. If he is studious, he can get on he can look at the television program. He can pick television programs to educate him globally. Yes, he can. He can go to the internet. Get information to become more aware and more educated globally of what's happening on high level for the global state of affairs. He can do that. So here is a citizenry that maybe among the common people might be a person more informed internationally or globally than the mayor of the city. So they can't assume all this responsibility they used to assume anymore for the life of an individual. And like I said, they already have been overtaxed. Here they're trying to secure the peace and order and peace of the state, of the city, or the town. But all this freedom is here. All this opportunity is here. The family have lost its control of the members of the family. There's no control now anymore. The church have lost its control over the congregation. The mosque have lost its control over the mosque members. Everybody have lost their controls. It's a bad time, isn't it? Yes and no. A bad time when you look at it only in what's happening, in the scene of what's happening bad. But if you look at it in the scene of what's happening in the whole global community, and how these things are working, this is the best time ever. Best time ever. What it's doing is bringing man to admit that God is every man's boss. God is every man's boss, from the highest to the lowest. And if you want the best condition for your government, for your citizenry, then you have to let your citizens be free to choose who they want as an authority in their lives. So religious freedom is here today for real, genuine opportunity to have your religion. Nobody's keeping Islam from us today. We keep it from ourselves. Nobody's going to keep it from us. We're welcome to have our Islam and to have our Islamic life. We're welcome to have the authority we want over us. Now, those who want to choose Iblis, they were free in the beginning of this of the world, and they're free now to choose Iblis. If you want Iblis as authority in your life, welcome. Nobody gonna stop you from having Iblis as authority in your life. If you want to be immoral, if you want to be against law and order, you want to be an anarchist, you want anarchy, no respect for the law or government, you can have it, but know the consequences. This is not the day for that kind of mentality. This is the day for the mind that wants to respect the best authority, the best authority. And the best authority is the God that created us all. That's the day. That's the time now. So this is the time for freedom, the real freedom, freedom of religion. This is the best time for it. We can sit at tables now with Jews and Christians, and nobody is arrogant. Nobody is big-headed. Nobody is saying my religion is better than yours. We've all been hurt so much until we just want to cry on each other's shoulders. God has brought us down to that level, making us admit that He is the authority. We thought we knew, but we didn't. This is a great day. And because of this great day, we can have stronger families. We can have stronger individual lives. We can have better condition. You know, one speaker recently, he said, what has to happen now is that the governments and powers, they have to work to see that nobody, no people, no group is deprived of the right to have humane conditions for their human existence. And that's true.
Yes,
and all of that, to me, is happening simply because man has been so burdened by the authority that he assumed, and he has to give it up. And giving it up means also welcoming the reality that God created each and every one of us to have humane conditions for our lives. This is a great day. This is a great day. This is so great, this day is so great, until I told some of you all secretly, privately. I think it's time to tell them publicly. This is the hereafter. Not the thereafter, the hereafter. You hear what I'm saying? I hope you understand. So get prepared. Get prepared and have no faith, have no fear. Believe, have faith, and have no fear. There's nothing for us to be afraid of anymore but our own bad judgment and bad behavior. That's the only thing we have to fear.
Right.
Dr. King said, I've been to the mountaintop.
Right.
Well, I don't know if I want to put it that way or not. But I've seen into the hereafter. And let's get prepared. Let's get ready for it. Praise be to Allah. On this side, hereafter, not thereafter, hereafter. we're going to have a bear after two. The journey is not over. Praise be to Allah. The great benefit now to the world community of minority or underprivileged people, the great benefit now that I see that's being given, coming to us in this new ordering of things in the world, the great benefit is the great amount of independence we can assume now, the great amount of responsibility we can assume now for ourselves. Yes, we wanted separate nations when we didn't see any justice in this world. We who were nationalistic and minded. We wanted separate nations under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Separate states. There was a justification for that when you had two laws in this country. One to tell the whites they own everything and it was superior to others that who weren't white. And the other law was to tell those who are not white, you are inferior and property of the others who have the upper hand or the upper position. That was the law that the civil rights movement challenged and successfully did away with it with the help of others like the nationalists and like Law of Elijah Muhammad, Nation of Islam. That was done away with. Why did we want separate states? We want a separate state so we'd be free to exercise more responsibility for ourselves or in our own interest. That's what we wanted it for. I know both the Bible and the Quran very well. I know it much better than most preachers, the Bible. I know the Bible much better than most preachers, most of the preachers. They haven't been blessed by God to see it like I see it, or to see into it like God has blessed me to see into it, because they haven't had the hunger to see into it like I have had to see into it. So they haven't seen into it like I have seen into it. Yes. And I know that the Bible speaks of this time. There's coming a time when every man will sit on his own vine and fig tree. Every tub must sit on his own bottom. Every man must have his own vine and fig tree. Every tub must sit on his own bottom. That's a prediction that the world that God created is a dynamic world. It's a dynamic order. It's an energetic order. It's an order that's full of energy and is working for growth. And a variety of things, and more growth, complexity of life, and great growth. And this is going to eventually be too much for human man or human order to hold up or to stand up to without the help of God. And man would be forced to cry out for the help of God. God, we can't manage this. We've asked for too much. And it's killing us, it's destroying us. It's destroying our order. God help us. And if we cry out the sincere cry, God will hear it. And God will guide the better minds how to see how to reorder things, reorder the world. And then they will say, human beings must be more responsible for themselves than they have been. If there ever was a time in the history of striving underprivileged people to produce qualified leadership for the task and circumstances that are at hand, that time is now. Never did a people solve their problems by giving the problem to each and every member in the group. You solve your problems by giving the problems to the best and most qualified in your group. This means you have to produce great leadership. So the pressure's on us. The new order is forcing us to stop supporting just the good talkers, charmers, entertainers that make us feel good and go home happy. We had a good dance. We had a good dance today. We heard some good rhythm. We can go home and rest. Our pleasure cup ran over, was filled to the brim. No, we have to have leaders that will waken our good senses that are sleeping and strengthen those that are awake, the good senses that are awake, so that we'll be prepared to support the kind of leadership we need for this great time that demands great, great responsibility be taken up by each and every one of us, every individual. So, Mother, you ain't going to be able to watch TV all day and neglect your children. You're not going to be able to throw your husband out the door and bring in the welfare check or the government to take care of your family. You ain't going to be able to do that much longer. The world is being reordered. You're going to have to kiss that man right, treat him right, talk to him right, to bring him back to his good senses. Now, I know you could do it. You did it. You know how to do it. The commercial world just messed up his mind. The dope world destroyed him almost. Now we need you, Mother, to make up your mind that I have to have this man. Welfare made it convenient for me to push him out. But I didn't have to push him out. I know the perfumes to put on to get him back in this house. I know the things I have to do to bring him back in. At least to get his respect so we can take care of the children better. You have to do your best. You have to do your most and do your best. Because the new order says, wife, mother, father have to be responsible. Yes? Husband and father, wife and mother, you have to be responsible. You can't turn it over to the world. You have to be responsible. And we're going to back you up. We're going to back you up. When I say we, I mean this community. You who are members of this community is going to back you up. This community knows, we know your condition, and we're going to work hard to bring about better spiritual life for all of us, and better moral life for all of us, and better opportunity for our children to be educated. And we are going to work to restore the right consciousness in the brother. So when the brother come home, you won't have to fight him so much, sister. You won't have to fight with him so much. When we finish with him, you're going to have a civilized man walking in that door. Yes. And he'll be ready to appreciate you. We're going to teach him that there's a whole lot of apples everywhere. And a good apple looks about the same everywhere you see it. And we're going to teach him that he can't be going out there just biting apples just because he likes the way they look. He got to eat apples for the family. He got to make sure that he's eating apples for the family interest. Only for his family interest. If eating that apple going to hurt his family, we're going to punish him for eating too many apples. And we got ways to punish him too now. Oh yes, the new world is shaping up, giving power to groups that was unheard of in the past. Yes, groups now, because of this extra demand, extraordinary demand now for more responsibility on the part of the individual, then groups that the individuals as a mass or as a group have authorized to be their representatives, they got great power with the system. Great power with the system. The system is too overly burdened to deal with you separately. The system has to deal with your authorized representatives. You authorize me to be your imam? I go talk to the system and tell them the burden you put on me. I got a sensible plan, they gonna respect it. You go crying to them that I hurt your neck, the operation I got caught your neck, they'll say, well, your neck must have been in the way or you put it there. Go home. Go talk to your imam. They got too much burden on there. They don't have time for that.
for all these petty things. This is the way life is moving. And that means we can have a good life. That's what it means. It means freedom. Real freedom is the freedom to be responsible for the real concern. That's what real freedom is. The freedom to be responsible for the real concern. That's freedom. And that's independence. So we want to maximize independence for individuals and for community. We want to maximize our share of responsibility for our own individual life and also for our community life. Maximize it. And as much as we maximize it, the more we are fit for the competition of this time on this earth. Yes. And the less we can maximize that, the less we are fit for the competition today on this earth. See, the law of the survival of the fittest is not an uncivilized law. It's a law that works at all times. The law of the survival of the fittest. Scientists and modern scientists, sociologists, etc., they have given us this law as a law of the jungle. Right? They say it's the law of the jungle. But it's a law, certainly it's the law of the jungle. But the same law of the jungle must be respected when you establish civilization. Same law must be respected. The law of the survival of the fittest. Now that doesn't mean that we discard the statement that we are our brother's keeper. No, we still love our brother. Islam says, love for your brother, which is love for yourself. Be charitable, spend the cat on yourself and your own family, but also spend the cat on the needy, the poor, others who help that. So the Islam, it means that I am my brother's keeper. But not exactly, though. See, keeper is too much, isn't it? That's why that question is in the Bible. Am I my brother's keeper? Keeper is too much. But am I responsible for my brother? Yes. But Muhammad said, if you had a gathering and you see your brother drinking, you're supposed to correct him right there on the spot. You see him drinking liquors, he's doing the haram, doing the forbidden thing. You're supposed to correct him right there on the spot. Yes, I am responsible for my brother. But am I his keeper? No. Allah is his keeper. Allah is his keeper. See, the problem with this world, Western world, it took on too much responsibility. It thought it was the keeper. God is the keeper. We just have to be decent by each other, that's all. Be decent by each other. Care for each other. Care about each other. And know that the human family is one, and whatever affects one will affect the other in time. Because we are one family. Maybe generations and generations will escape the problem. But as man begins to grow more and more and become more populated, he's going to have to be interacting with each other more. Finally, that man that was neglected, you're going to have to meet him at the universal table, at the table, the universal meeting at the global table. You're going to have to meet him. And isn't that what's happening? Every nation that's mistreated now is at the table, at the global table. Every nation that's been robbed of its natural resources or been robbed of a chance to have humane conditions for their lives because of greedy industrialists, greedy developers, greedy exploiters who exploit the whole world. Now they have a time to be heard at the global table of universal justice, economic justice for all. They can be heard at the global table now. All of them can be heard. This is a great day. More responsibility we have to accept. I'm going to close this out now. The business effort that we have now under the name Collective Purchasing Conference. Is given to us, I believe, as a mercy from Almighty God. I don't believe that I am the cause for this happening. I believe that I'm just here to serve the cause.
I don't believe that this depends on me. I believe that if I died right here, not right now, I had a heart attack or a stroke or something and died right here at this rostrum, my podium, the stand, it will still be successful. God will bless it with those to support it, and God will make it a success. As God has brought me to see the way, God will also make it a success. I'm convinced of that. God is making this happen. So I tell my brothers who work with me, I see every day, I've been telling them. And I'm telling you, you can't make them not believe in me. Impossible. Because they've seen so much. It's not just me. Yeah. Right there. He's seen, you know, I've been talking to him for how long? Many years. Talking about what was going to happen, right?
About 2 decades almost.
Right? Now, what I was talking about in the dark, you see at night in the light, right? All right. Yeah. And I knew it was coming. I told him with 100% faith in it, I told him, I said, I can guarantee this just like I can guarantee you that we're sitting in this car talking. I said, you know that, don't you? He said, yeah. I said, well, that's how strong I feel about what's going to happen. And now he's seeing these things that I told him would happen. Not prophet. Not no prophet. Not prophecy. Faith in God and faith in God's justice. And seeing the world now being forced to respect God. And respect God's law, God's will, God's justice. I see that. I saw it. And I say, this, the way this world is shaping up here, brother, I say, we're going to have great opportunity. That's what I told him. Great opportunity. I said, oh, bigger than you can imagine right now, Brother Alpha. I said, you know what? This is going to happen, and that's going to happen. And he knows. He knows it. And now he sees it. And now he sees it. Did you ever dream you would go with me in Bangladesh? And be taken by a big businessman? Well-respected businessman over there? And then soon as they see me, they take me out of his hand and take me to bigger people? Every dream never happened?
No,
came of commerce?
That's right.
Owners of big banks? But I told him it was coming. I told him it was coming. And now he sees it with his own eyes. I'm telling you that because we have to be very strong in faith to do what we have to do. Strong faith. Muhammad the prophet, man of strong faith. Abraham, model of strong faith. His followers who believed in him, the early followers of Muhammad, men and women of strong faith. Strong faith. Nobody could whisper little stuff and make them doubt or suspect that maybe Islam is not what they should have as their choice. No one could do that. Their faith was so strong to just a hint of that would make them do something to you. If you were among them, yeah, they'd do something to you. They'd hurt you. Yeah. Yeah, they get the hypocrite, they get the intruder that came in to break the strength of the Ummah. They'd deal with them swiftly, real quick. Omar, he was so swift and tough. No, they knew how to talk around him, you know. They wouldn't dare whisper anything that would suggest weakness in faith. Not in the presence of Omar. May God be pleased with him. And we have our Omars around here. We do. God always has best these people to survive. They survive in the generations that come. Yes. So we have our Omars. Praise be to Allah. We have our Abu Bakrs. Yes. We have our Khalid Ibn Walid. Oh, yes. He's just waiting. Yeah, he's just waiting. That's all. He's right here. He's Khalid Ibn Walid. You're looking at him right now. Yeah. Yeah, there's fast opposition. I'm ready for it. We don't have any opposition. Allah has cleared the way for us. No need to fight anybody and no need to fear anybody. I never thought I'd live in a time like this.
A man walked up to me like he was an angel. White man. He walked up to me. Now, I'm getting off the plane. And he turned around and he looked at me. He said, "You're free." That's all he said to me and kept going. I thought God had sent an angel. I'm not joking. You all laughing, but I'm not joking. I felt that, you know, because after all, you know, in this world, small African American, I'm still a black man. When I was asked recently, two out of me say, "Don't you feel that you've had a double whammy, Brother Iman?" Now, this is a big man asking me this. He said, "Don't you feel that you've had a double whammy, Brother Iman?" Speaking to me as an African American, speaking to me as an African American. So he thought I didn't understand him. I understood him. He said, "I mean, you're black in America in a Christian society, in an American society, and you're also a Muslim. So don't you think that you have experienced a double whammy?" I said, "Well, yes and no." I said, "This is triple whammy." I said, "I'm a Muslim, and I'm black, and I'm poor. Triple whammy." I said, "But that doesn't matter. It's a new reality. Now I can get my money that I'm due. Economic justice, that's what I mean by that. Economic justice. And I can wear my color with pride. And I can wear my religion with exceptional pride." Oh, yes. Praise be to Allah. So thank you very much. Now, I've really talked too much. My son tell me, say, "Son, Daddy, are you going to talk long?" I said, "Well," he said, "Well, talk good, but not so long." I said, "Okay." And another young lady, like a relative too in our house, Sister Aisha's daughter, Halima, she said to me, she said, "I couldn't understand anything you said after you talked about Muhammad." The only thing I heard after that was, I think, nature. She said, "Nature." She said, "The only thing I heard after that was nature." She said, "And the people say, 'Get Allahu Akbar, get beer, Allahu Akbar, get beer, Allahu Akbar, get beer.'" She said, "If you would get up there and say, 'Assalamu alaikum, blah 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 nature, blah 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 blah." Then when you finish, they say, "Take me, Allahu Akbar, take me here, take me here." So I think she picked up something. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you. Take
me here. For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call 1-708-201-9692. All right, Ministry of W.D. Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.